Right. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Well, it's what a day, what a beautiful day. I'm going to move to the center. Every time somebody prays for me, Lord, I lift Amal up to you. The first thing comes to my mind is, like, I grew up watching wrestling, right? And in wrestling, when people lift you, you know what's going to come. They lift you and then they're going to slam you back. And I always feel this sense, like every time people, my wife prays for me all the time, Lord, I lift Amal up, you know, my husband, I don't know what she's going to do afterwards. Wow, I blame my upbringing. It's so nice to see James Shreve, isn't it?
Yeah,
what a guy. You know, I heard all the sighs that said, oh, you know, he really is a son of the house, and you guys have done such a good job. Yeah, come on. Absolutely. It's very hard to send son or a daughter away from your parents. You know, it's a big thing. Liberty and I are like that. You know, our parents are in the States or in India, but you know what? We are here, and the church is our family. And we're so grateful for you, Lord. So, yes. So, we have Rachel with us. Rachel, come on, Rachel, stand up. Rachel has been our friends for a while, so she's coming to see the beautiful Oxford chair. So, can you make her feel welcome? Yeah. Thank you, Rachel drove hours to come and spend some time with us yesterday. It was great to have you, Rachel. So, yeah, so I have a few updates to give you because my wife is the kind of girl that she will tell me whether you come back with your spear or on it. Shield, sorry, not spear. Come back with the shield or on it because otherwise I'm going to get it. House situation. So I appreciate you guys, for praying for us. It's still going on, Mr. Cutler. That's the news for you because he always asks me, how is the house situation going? But yeah, thank you for all your prayers. We don't have any news yet. But we really appreciate all your prayers. Do you know something? We had our first life group in our house last week. So we started a new one in Didcot side. So if you're on Didcot side or if you're on anywhere, then you don't have a house group, life group that you go to, come join us. We will not give you a hard time. We had such a good time. We looked at the Bible, we prayed, we worshiped. We discuss scriptures and we encourage each other. And that is the premise of a house group, a life group. Previous church, we used to say house group. It's so hard, guys. Life group. It's in the Bible. It's house group. Yeah. You know, there are a couple of days in May that we're going to open our house. It's called Open House. So please do come. Bring a drink, bring a chair. So a lot of things happening. The Lord is so good to us, good to our church. And, for a while that we didn't have two people for creche, but now we're going to go back to two people in creche. And so I really want to say thank you for those who said to us, we want to come and be part of it. We don't want to, let visitors go to creche to be with their child or children. So we are really, really grateful for those who are giving up their time. And this is a good church. How many times have I said it? This really is a good church. Come on, look at the person right next to you and give a smile and say, you are a good church member. Poor Daniel doesn't have anybody. I'll tell you, brother, you're a good church member. I've been humbled to have been invited for a conference this week. So I'm going away to Romania all week. I know people think, Penny said, oh, you're going to go for a holiday. Well, it could be because I don't know what the weather is, but it really is a privilege where the ministers from different parts of the country come together as a part of an organization called Ministers Fellowship Global. So we're going to meet together, worship together, seek the face of the Lord together, and come back encouraged. So look after my family while I'm gone. So guys, today, You know, we've been looking at the local church. That's something that's very close to my heart, very precious to my heart. Since January, we looked at what the local church is, what a church is not, the fellowship of the believers. We looked at the body of Christ, and we looked at the gifts just a little bit. And we looked at, are we maturing in Christ? And then I took a break over Easter, and we looked at what was in the Lord's cup. What did he go through in that Garden of Gethsemane? And today I want to finish that little bit of a series of local church. And we'll look at the blueprint of what a New Testament church is going to look like. So would you please turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. And then we shall pray in a second. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 35. I'll give you a moment. I like the pages that are rustling, which is good. Okay, so Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 35. Now, the word of the Lord says, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, listen to this, and with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as they had need. Well, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your presence with us. Father, we thank you for allowing us to worship you this morning. Father, we thank you for being among us, Lord Jesus. Your Holy Spirit is doing a work in our hearts, in our minds. Father, we thank you for soiling our hearts. May we hear your voice, Lord. Father, would you forgive our sins of this week? Father, would you clear our minds, Lord, so we can focus on you, not on the things of the earthly or the things of this world, that we look to you, Lord Jesus. Fix our eyes on you, Lord Jesus. Be with us, Lord, this morning while we look at this text. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the context of this Acts chapter 4 opens right at the heart of both a miracle and a conflict. See, Peter and John just performed an incredible miracle of healing a crippled man. You look at Acts chapter 3, you will see that. And so the crowd was astonished. What was going on? And the new believers were multiplying. And the priests and the Sadducees were greatly disturbed because the news of the Lord Jesus Christ that had been risen from the dead is spreading. It's going viral, the language of the today. And so they arrest Peter and John and they're pressing him. By what power or in what name do you do this? Why are you going around preaching about the resurrection of our Lord, of this person called Jesus Christ? And this I love in Acts chapter 4, 7 to 13. I'm going to paraphrase it. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter says, with courage, it is by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and that God raised from dead. That is whom we are preaching. And with confidence, Acts chapter 4, 13, this is what I wanted to get. The counselors, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were looking at this uneducated man who are not using the language of this great Pharisees and Pharisaical language. They were thinking, they had been with Jesus. And that's what it says. They had been with Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, have you been with Jesus? Have you spent time with him? Have you fellowshipped with him? Have you communed with him? And they said, we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. And so the council releases them and say, my goodness, look at these guys. These guys are crazy. They just got arrested. And so they go home. And if I am getting arrested and going home, I'm going to be put down. I'm going to be like, close the curtains. I don't want to get into trouble. But look at this, what these guys did. Even greater boldness. They were praying. And that's what Acts chapter 4:20 says, just before this. The believers pray for boldness. What kind of guys? These guys were out of the world. They were filled and continued to speak the word of God in boldness. Spirit-filled, prayer. And that's how we come to this text. Acts chapter 4:32-35. They had everything in common. You see, they feared God. They loved God so much. And so their hearts were so knit together, not by command, or we are to be together, no, but by compassion. Not by law, but by love. No one ever said, this is mine. Oh, you're not having that. Like kids play, you know. This is mine. This is mine. No, they held things so loose. And so they gave everything away as they had need. They saw, Terry, you have this, you don't have this? Okay, let me give this to you because you are in more need than me. I got you that, didn't I? Just checking whether listening to me or not. You see, it wasn't communism enforced by legislation. It was communion by regeneration of their hearts. How and why? We just looked at it. Because they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. And if we are with Jesus, we will not be the way that we are. Sometimes I look at my own life. You know, sometimes the things come to the surface. You know, as you pour oil on the water, it just comes up. And that's how sometimes I see my sins. My goodness, Lord, I need saving. I need to sort my life out, sort my heart out, my attitude. You know, I know I keep saying, you know, this church is a good church. Somebody, before we went for a holiday last time, somebody put an envelope full of money. We don't know who. I'm looking around thinking, it's one of you, Lord, being very cheeky and naughty. But see, that attitude of giving away something, you know what? Amal is actually skint. We need to give him some money. No. But the heart behind that is, we just want to bless that person. You know, they're going away as a holiday. What a heart that is. Well, if you did it by mistake, I'm sorry. I've spent it all. So you're not getting it back. You may think, oh, no, the money went in Liberty's bag by mistake. I'm sorry. My goodness. You see, what kind of church Ridgeway Community Church should be? What kind of church we should be? See, we ought to learn from this scripture, guys, from 4:33-35. You know, when we say, oh, this is a great church, this is a good church, what are we looking at? Is it because of the size? Or is it because of the budget? Is it because of the popularity that the church puts on online content these days? Anybody who says, oh, I have a platform, buys a microphone in front of YouTube, I'm not saying that's wrong, but is it because of that we say that it's a good church? Is it because of the speakers, the friends, the relationship that we have in the church? Is it because of the architecture? My goodness, look at that great church. Our measuring stick is the word of the Lord. It is what we need to live by. If we don't live by this, my goodness, I'm telling you, we are in a highway to hell. Because the Bible is our measuring stick. That is our plumb line. When we say that, oh, great, that's not what the way God sees it. I want to give you guys 5 marks of a New Testament church. 5 marks of New Testament church. My first point, Acts chapter 4:33. What does it say? And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. My first point is great power. Great power. You see, the church doesn't operate by clever ideas, clever men, planning, talent, clever thoughts, human ingenuity, wisdom of man. No. It is by God's power, God's great power. That's what it says. And with great power, we need His power. We need His Holy Spirit. And if we want to see Ridgeway Community Church grow, what do we need? We need the power of God. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to walk with the Holy Ghost. And when people see us, wow, there's something different about Mr. Cutler, something different about Mr. Brewer. Because they have the power of the Lord. They have the Spirit of the Lord. The power in Greek word is dunamis. And that's where we get our word dynamite. You know, when they say he is a pocket dynamite. And that's what it is. They explode. That's what the early church people were praying for, boldness and courage. They were exploding. We need that boldness and spirit and power in our life. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. What does that mean to testify in great power? It means that we don't do in our own strength, but we rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. We rely on the Holy Ghost. He has given us gifts. But you know, there's a picture in the Bible, in Revelation, where the 24 elders take their crown off their heads and they lay it down, Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we ought to do. Whatever gifts the Lord has given us, we lay it down at His feet. And so He can use what He has given us. And that is what we see in Peter and John. Silver nor gold have I none, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, get up. The power, they were operating in the power. If you look in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, guys, just go just one couple of pages ago. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Look, but you will receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Let's look at that scripture really quickly, and then you will understand this. Jesus said, whoa. The Great Commission is given, right? In Matthew 28, He said, go to all nations and proclaim the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. But don't go just yet. Wait. Because you cannot do on your own. What do you need? It says, look, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city, Jerusalem, until you are clothed with what? With power from on high. So whatever that you do, if you don't have the power of the Lord, we will not see fruit from it. We need the power of God. Are you waiting and listening for God's instruction? Or are we running ahead of His plans? You see, witnessing is not showing what we can do for God. It's not like that. Or when we go to town, which we are going to in July and September. I've been chatting with the council. Dr. Walters very kindly doing all the risk assessments. But it's not about what we do for God. It's showing and telling what God has done in our life. So no one can dispute that. Look what my God has done. Look what He has done in my life. He's a good God. One man wrote to another man about his church. And he said in response to the question, how is your church going? He wrote back and said, pray for us. The furnace is out, but the blower is still going on. We don't want to be a church like that, guys. We don't want a church with no foes, but just have the form. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says, this word, be, is an imperative word. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says, let me just quickly read that. Every time I speak, my time just goes flying. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Well, that is a good scripture, but that is not what I wanted. It is 18. You can laugh at my expense. That's okay. You see, it says here, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. That's what it says, to be filled with the Spirit. So my first point, guys, have the Lord's power. And how do we get the power? To be filled with the Spirit. I've asked a couple of guys, towards the end, we're going to have a song. And I am going to invite you. Today, you may think your axe is dull. And you're working out the way that you're putting in all the strength you have. But your axe is dull. You are just haven't spent enough time with the Lord, or whatever the reason may be. You feel like the power of God is not in you. I'm not talking about, you know, you're talking in different languages or moving about spastically or anything like that. I'm talking about something different that you have in you that you no longer feel that you have, no longer sense. I am going to ask you for a response later on. And so my second mark of a New Testament, not only the early church had great power, they had great grace. I'm going to march on. Acts chapter 4, 33. With great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of Lord Jesus. And what was it? And great grace was upon them. We cannot do anything without the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what is grace? It is God's riches at Christ's expense. It is God's riches at Christ's expense. That is Jesus' loving grace. It is His saving grace. It is His giving grace that we are here. How many times have we heard, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there goes I. You know, we're no exempt. We're not exempt to the things of this world. We may think, oh, I escaped that temptation. We escaped this temptation. But you know what? It is by the pure grace of God. By the pure grace of God. You cast your mind back and you look back in your own life. My goodness, how the Lord has saved me. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You see, these early people, early church people, displayed a clear evidence of Christ's grace in their words and in action. And like I said, they were so detached from these worldly possessions, and which served them a strong testament of God's grace in them. And so they held very loose to the earthly things. And so they gave away things freely. Wherever there is need, they gave away. I'm sorry, Brewsters, I am going to embarrass you. You know, my wife had a phone call from a friend of ours and asking for, you know, is there any accommodation that we can just bunk in? So we were just looking for, you know, a tiny room where we can just crash them. But, you know, again, what a good church that we have. These guys, well, we're going away on holiday. They can use. I never had that invite. They have a little jacuzzi at the end. Now I'm only joking. We see their heart. That is how they live. That is what a real Christian living looks like. We hold on to the things of this world so lightly because one day when we go to heaven, we're not going to take anything with us. And so the grace of God. Stephen, it says in Acts 6, 7, 8, he was full of grace. He was full of power. And he was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Oh, there you go. And so the same grace and power that He had given them, that is, lives in us. He who lives in us is greater. And I look upon Ridgeway, how the Lord has graciously shown His grace. His grace is, you know, the food bank. I look at God's grace in the food bank. God's grace with CAP, you know, how He is blessed with Christians Against Poverty now. Liberty has a role there. God's grace in the coffee shop, in the hub. Rachel, you know, you're inviting people that they won't want to go anywhere else, but they just want to be here. But what is it so different, something that they find here that they cannot find in Costa down the road? It's because of the Spirit of the Lord. This building, you know, how many churches that I know, even Compass, Rachel, they're still looking for a building. But this building is His grace. And for that matter, Mr. Cutler helped me put a little office in the church office. So I'm going to invite you, open invite. If ever you want to drop in, come on in. We have an office just made for people and for us. So where we can just have a cuppa. and talk about the things of this world and things of the heart. So my third point, I have to move on. My time is ticking. So the early church not only had great power, not only had great grace, they had great fear. Look, if you will, in Acts chapter 5, verse 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 5. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. What does it say? And great fear came upon all who heard it. And the same word, great fear, is mentioned again in Acts chapter 5, verse 11. It says, a great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things. What had happened was, as we just read, people were selling their house and they were laying at the apostles' feet. But these guys, very cleverly, hid something behind. And so they just want to look holy. They had a form of godliness. They didn't have the real fear of God. And the Bible says they lied to the Holy Spirit. You see, this fear is not just jitters. It's a holy terror, that which that we ought to have in our life. My goodness, well, today's church, the modern church, you know what is missing? It's a fear of the living God. We miss it so much, guys. We think the grace will cover. Oh, the grace will cover. The grace will cover. And it becomes so greasy, greasy, greasy grace. We don't live in greasy grace. God, through Christ, He purchased us with His blood. We ought to remember that. What does Solomon say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and to hate evil. You see, the early church, if you keep reading those scriptures, Acts chapter 5, people were so afraid to join the church. Today we're putting all welcome. Anybody's welcome to church, which is, while it's still true, Jesus does want all people to come. But you know what it says? They had a great fear. They just don't want it to get, look at Ananias on the floor. Whoa, there's something serious happening here. If God deals with us like that in today's church, we're going to have body bags going out of the church. My goodness. You know, I see today this word being thrown around, you know, and it gravely concerns me. God told me, God said to me, whatever else they wanted to add, weight to their assertions. Look at what 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says. Ah, it's there. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for the benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond. Not to go beyond what is written. So you cannot go beyond what is written to say what God has told you to say so. What God has told me to say so. We are adding more our own weight to what you may be thinking. Because we come through the cross. Now, when we come through the cross, nobody can ever say, oh, the Lord is not with you. Well, Bible says, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. How can anybody tell you the Lord is not with you? Now, I call that contradiction. Bible calls this contradiction because God will never contradict Himself. That's what is great. This fear is missing. That's how the early church operated, with great power, great grace, with great fear. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulties. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Did you hear that, kiddies? Disobedient to the... look, now parents, give a look to your children. Come on. Because the torture said, I'm only joking. But that is to instill a fear in us. We are to respect our parents, our elders, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal. This is Bible, guys. I'm not even making these words up. treacherous, reckless, swollen with deceit, lovers of pleasure than lovers of God. Look what it says in verse 5. Having what? An appearance of godliness. Christians are so good at this. We are so good at this. But denying its power, the Bible says, avoid such people. Let us not be so nice and we become nicer than God Himself. Oh, they're no harm. I know them. But look what it says. Avoid such people. You keep your heart right with the Lord and you become those who spend time with. I can keep going on, guys, but my time is ticking. My fourth mark, the early church had great power, great grace, great fear, and when you operate in those ways, look what comes. Great persecution. That's my fourth point. Great persecution. Somebody prayed this morning, we're a heartbeat away from persecution. I don't know who it was. I think it was Steve Walters. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Let's look at that. And there arose on that day a great persecution. A great persecution. And you may think, well, we're in England right now. There's not much persecution that like it's happening in India or in eastern parts of the world. I'm telling you, time is coming. Time is coming. And we don't want to lose the daylight. And that is why, you know, I've been praying and spending time with the elders. And we want to go and tell the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, like Jesus said in Matthew 28. When we don't want to go out there without His power. We don't want to go out there without His grace. We don't want to go without His fear. And if you want to be a church of New Testament church, you are going to be persecuted. You are. Time is coming. That's what Jesus said. If you're going to go along, to get along, to rub along with the world, never preach sin, we won't get any persecution. That is why we get persecution, because we're telling them the truth of why Jesus came to earth, because He wants to give the everlasting life for you and to you. Because He took your punishment upon Himself. The early church didn't go out to the world to be liked, but to tell the truth. They were in a head-on collision. I don't know how many of you know. I want to recommend this book to you guys. It's called Fox's Book of Martyrs. How many of you read it? Oh, Rachel. Well done, Rachel. What? This is a great bedtime story, guys. Trust me, there's heads for, well, I know they got kids here, but these guys lived for the word of the Lord. This will put some fire in you. This will put some fear in you. This will put some grace in you. These guys, you're going to look from Stephen, from the Bible, this guy, John Fox, he narrates of all the people in history. What a great, I want to have your dad to be my dad. What a great bedtime story this is. I recommend to you guys. These are some great guys who lived for the Lord. Polycarp, from one example from that. A bishop, Polycarp of Smyrna, faced a similar choice under persecution. The authorities demanded to renounce Christ. They said to him, renounce Christ, otherwise we're going to kill you. And his reply says like this, 86 years, that means 86 years. I had to look that up myself. Have I served Him? He has never done me injury. How can I now blaspheme my King and Savior? I want to tell you guys, what are we standing for? We have to stand for something. We have to stand upon the word of the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaim His good news to where He has planted us. Man, these early guys, they had faith that jails couldn't lock up, swords couldn't kill them, water couldn't drown them. And death couldn't destroy. Our neighbors, you know, they're Muslims. This is true story. And we got to know them. Liberty made one of her cookies to go welcome them. they opened it up, their house, and they were asking us, well, you know, we're so troubled with our little kid going to school, you know, we're not 100% sure about homosexuality and all of these kind of things. What do you think? And I was like, Lord, give me wisdom. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what the Bible thinks. And so I opened Romans chapter 1 to the Muslim guys. And I was telling them, this is what the Lord thinks of you. Let me tell you something. I want to be very clear about this. God loves his people. You know, the church is not it's not for the saints. It's a hospital for sinners. Christ came for who? For the sinners. And so we bumped into somebody else in the Snug coffee shop. I'm not recommending the Snug, but we bumped into somebody and they asked the same question. Will your church invite us? Because we are gay. Well, I said, why not? Come to Christ. Christ loves you. It is not my job to convict you. It is the Holy Spirit's job. He is the one who puts the fear of God in you. No one's going to condemn them. We love them just like Christ loves. You know, just because we don't have that sin doesn't mean that we're exempt from it. We may have different sin in our life. So the answer is yes. I said to them, bring your dog with you as well. My fifth mark for the New Testament church is great numbers. Great numbers. The early church operated in not only in great power, not only in great grace, not only with great fear, and they had great persecution. My last point is great numbers saved. Look, if you will, in Acts chapter 11, verse 2. Acts chapter 11, verse 2. It says like this, the hand of the Lord was with them. The hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number who believed turned to the Lord. Is the hand of the Lord with you this morning? Is the hand of the Lord in your life this morning? You see, God wants people to come to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want them to perish. That's the heart of the Lord. He wants all men to be saved, all women to be saved, all children to be saved. And so we preach Christ in season and out of season. And when we do these things right, when we operate in the biblical way of building the church, we will see numbers saved. I look at all these stacked up chairs behind there, guys. My heart truly is that we want to grow in this town and we want to be unique in this town and we want to cook good food so people can come and eat the cooked food and they are going back home, oh, I had a good food this morning. And because we preach Christ, and we preach Christ crucified, and we preach Christ glorified. And we pray for revival and all of that kind of thing. You know, one of the quotes from yester generation guy called Edwin Orr. Listen to what he says. Revival means judgment day. And that is what they had back then. You know, when the great fear fell upon church, the people were growing. Nobody was going around, come to our church, come to our church. They were persecuted. The Acts chapter 1 verse 8 was spreading, not only in Jerusalem, not only in Judea, to the outskirts of the place and to the ends of the world. We are here because the gospel has gone out. And so may we, as a church, have the power of God. May we, as a church, have the grace of God. May we have the fear of God. Let's tremble before God. And when we do those three things right, guys, I'm telling you, people will get saved. It's not saved by our human wisdom. We may have great gifts. I'm telling you, these guys, I think we just touched a little bit this morning. we were brought in. You know, on the day of Pentecost, 120 people led to 3,000 souls to Christ. And today, it takes 3,000 people to lead 120 to Christ. Huh. I want to finish with one quote from a guy called Ruben Torrey. He says, pray for great things. Pray for great things. Expect great things. Work for great things. Above all, pray. Above all, pray. Can I ask the musicians to come up, please? And we're going to have one last song. And I want us to respond, guys. Take this. You know, I want our church to be a gospel preaching church, and going for 50 plus years, I don't think for one moment that we have not preached the gospel. And I'm thinking about the future, and we stand on the shoulders of the giant and we build on this church for the glory of God. I want this church to be a spirit-filled church, a true biblical worshiping church. You know, we clap hands, you know, like David worshipped. You know, I will dance before the Lord. He was leaping and he was enjoying the presence of the Lord. I want our church to be a powerful praying church, a caring church. Oppose the disciplines, the government, and the membership seriously, and a graceful serving church. And I say again, reiterate again, this is a good church. We cry with those who cry. We laugh with those who laugh. And I look around with the relationships that you have, and I'm grateful to God for where He has brought us. And I'm thankful for planting us here and knitting our hearts. And so therefore, what I have is yours, and I hope the same, because that is how we ought to live. And so bow our heads and let's close our eyes. I want to give a gospel invitation to you guys. If you do not know Christ this morning, and I want to give you that Christ Jesus, over 2,000 years ago, He came and He lived and He died and He rose again. For what? To give sinners like you and me a pathway to heaven, to be with God, to forgive us from our sins, to cleanse us from our iniquities. And so, on that day when He comes back, that we stand before the judgment throne room of God, that we are justified, that we are found in Christ. And if that is you, I urge you, Lord Jesus, would you pray? I pray, Lord, would you save that soul for you, Lord Jesus? And would you compel that person to come into the saving knowledge of Christ, Lord? I pray, Lord, for the children here. I pray, Lord, that they will grow up to be in your presence, Lord. I pray that you will work in their minds and their hearts, that no matter how far they go, like a rubber band, they will come straight back to you. They cannot go outside of your parameters. Father, keep them in you. Jesus, we thank you so much, Lord, this morning. Holy Spirit, may we operate in your power, not in our own strength. May we operate in your grace, Lord, not in our own ability, Lord. May we operate in your fear, Lord Jesus. And may we see this church grow in numbers. And if and when the persecutions happen, that we stand on Christ and we proclaim and we preach Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.